Armodoxy for today. And then there were two, three, and four. In 2006, I had a chance to visit Rwanda with a small group of educators from the University of Southern California. It was a decade after a genocide ravaged the country and claimed 800,000 lives in the course of 100 days. It was an important trip for me to take. I grew up hearing the stories of genocidal crimes told to me by my grandparents. The more I heard, the more I read, the more I wanted to know how such a violent and heinous crime could be committed so overtly, especially in the modern world, where understanding seemed to be the common goal of our world. I figured by going to Rwanda 10 years after the Rwandan genocide might be like going to Armenia 10 years after the genocide in Armenia. I had heard so much about it. You know, Rwanda 2006 was my Armenia 1927. What I found was more than I could have asked for. Not only the answers to my questions, but also I found an answer to the meaning of the Armenian genocide for me as a person living 100 years after the event. The stories of the Rwandans were remarkably similar to the stories I had heard from my grandparents. Police coming in the night, taking away and slaughtering the men, raping the women, killing the children, blatant exhibitions of cruelty and killing, without hints of remorse. Armenians referred to the Euphrates River as the Red Euphrates, while Rwandans referred to the Nile as the Red Nile because of all the blood and bodies that were flowing through the rivers. Rwanda made me colorblind because the only difference between me, myself, and my story and the Rwandan story was the color of our skins. And that is not a difference. In the stories, you realize that our pain is our commonality. We are all children of the same God. In Rwanda, I found myself in a rather unique position of straddling, so to speak, the first and last genocides of the 20th century. There is a museum dedicated to genocide in the capital city there. In it is a permanent exhibit dedicated to the Armenian genocide, as there are exhibits to all genocides of the 20th century. The Armenian genocide is viewed as the granddaddy of them all, and sadly and tragically, genocides continued. Germany, Ethiopia, Bosnia, Cambodia, and even into the 21st century in Darfur. The Armenian story has a special place and meaning for the world. And as a successor to the Armenian genocide survivors, the responsibility now turns to mine. If I am going to refer to the Armenian genocide as the first, then I have a responsibility to be the first to call out, to point to actively protest and work for understanding that leads to peace. In other words, just as the case is in Christianity, faith implies actions. You cannot mourn a genocide without actively fighting against one. April 24 is a date to renew a vow to work for peace through understanding, vigilance, and love toward all of humanity. The Armenian Church's prayer for this day is, Christ who crowns the saints, willingly take those who are in awe of you and look with love and sweetness on your creation. With your holiness, hear us. By the intercession of the holy Astvazazin, and by the supplications of all your saints, especially the holy martyrs of the Armenian genocide, who were martyred for faith and the fatherland. Hear us and have mercy. Amen.
To learn more about the Armenian Genocide and some of the actions you can take, refer to the show notes in today's podcast or search Armenian Genocide at epostle.net. And don't forget to visit the first ever Armenian Church Metaverse exhibition at epostle.net.
Epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe.